Can everybody hear me? Is this good? Okay. Thanks so much for having me tonight. It's really exciting night for me, not only because I get to read with all these other great writers, but because this is the very first reading that I've ever done with a book in my hand. Yes. The last hour of my life has not been about frantically finding a printer, which is nice for me. So I'm going to read from my novel, which is called Junkette. And I'm going to read chapter 6. And by this time, I think the only thing you need to know about what's going on right now is that our main character, Claire, who is our Junkette, is living with her boyfriend, whose name is Mac, and they live together with their drug dealer, whose name is Chip. And the other character that comes into play in this chapter is a guy named Ra, who is the drug dealer right above Chip on the drug dealing ladder. Okay. And they all live in New Orleans. Ra's been coming to the house every day, same time, same knock. It's nice to have some routine. After he brings the delivery, Chip and I make the envelopes, and Mac makes deliveries to the people who can't get by Felicity Street. We're a team. I go to work, Mac goes to work, Chip mans the fort. Today's delivery was so good, I feel like a petal floating down the street. I got cut from the moonlight early, but Mac had to stay to work the late shift. He wants me to bring him back a little piece. That's been his thing lately. Little pieces at work, nothing to get too excited about, maintenance. Which is new. I think he's trying to show restraint, since he's pretending we're going to Colorado soon. Saving money, being frugal. Mac used to be frugal every day. But something changed when we started dating. When we first met, almost a year ago now, his eyes were thick, glassy lakes, and I floated inside them on top like a bubble. But he's not so glassy anymore. Maybe I'm the glass now. But part of being frugal was not banging. When you use your nose, it lasts longer, so you buy less. Mac tried to impart the importance of this upon me. Mac told me never to bang. There aren't that many people who keep getting down as long as Mike has been. He's 36, and not too many people who've never been arrested and who've always had a job. It's a point of great pride with Mac. He always claims it was because he'd never banged. Then one day, his nose stopped working. He bent down to blow a line, and nothing. I was there. I saw. Nothing would go up. For a little while, he tried to keep buying the same amount. But it wears off quick when you bang. He must have noticed how much he's been using lately, gone back to being frugal. I understand. There are things we believe are worth maintaining. We believe there are things worth saying. We're going to Colorado. We're being frugal. I don't love you. I like being able to walk through the air like this. It's light, and you could almost forget that we're situated at the downest part of the river, below the water even, like a mermaid city. I love that about here. I love it that when we're down, it makes me feel good about when we talk about going down, getting down, taking the train downtown, taking a trip down to the bottom. It makes me feel like I'm in the perfect right place to be right where I am. The magnolia tree in front of the moonlight started shedding today. Little by little, white petals down too. If I could be anything today, I think I'd choose magnolia petal. But I'd be an up one. Makes people see the delicate. Not that I'm delicate. Not that much. I'm thinking this is going to be perfect. Chip will be at Felicity Street. I can get down nice and quick, run back to the moonlight, give Mac his little piece, head back to Nod, all before the sun goes all the way down. And I'll probably even get a kiss if I ask nice. I drop by Zara's, and it's busy. People getting their andouille and dirty rice for dinner, but I go straight for the counter, get my cigarettes with no wait at all, and man, look, Ra right there, and I didn't even have to go looking. I call for him, and he smiles, looks me up and down like he likes to, all the way down to my toes. I love the way he pronounces my name. like it's five syllables instead of one, like it's a whole long line of poetry. Look at him looking at me, what a catch, what a day, what a good batch of dope. Ra asks me where I'm coming from and where I'm going. I don't go too many places, just around the neighborhood, just around the block, really. But who could feel trapped in a place like this? Only if you felt trapped in a petal, maybe. Ra tells me Chip wanted another delivery today, and Felicity Street is where he was headed too. Down the street, he even touches my neck, pulls the little hairs sticking out from my braid, and brushes up against my arm like he doesn't know he's doing it. Ra laughs when I tell him I'm happy to see him, like no one's ever told him that before, though I know everybody who sees Ra is happy to see him. We walk into Chip's room, and I hear her before I see her. Chip's mama Suzette's here. Ra sighs like he wasn't planning on being too long. Everybody knows when Suzette's here, Chip's agitated, and Chip has a whole routine to get him done with being agitated. Ra knows, and I know, and I don't think either of us wanted to wait around all night. Ra's got deliveries to make, and I've got places to float. I need to get back to Mac and the Moonlight, but if anyone can unagitate Chip, it's me. Even after we call his name a couple times, it doesn't seem like he can hear us. So Ra leads us into the living room. I'm behind Ra. He's so big, his whole body covers my whole body, and I think, what would it be like if his body was really covering mine, like a comforter covering me? But I stop. That's not right. Nobody's supposed to cover me but Mac. Suzette's on the couch, and Chip's standing in front of her, and they're both talking at the same time, like they're going to be able to hear each other, not listening. What do you want, Ma? What do you want? You want one more, Ma? Here, fucking take it. Mama just needs a little one more piece, just a little one more. It's all right on top of each other, like Ra might be on top of me if we were horizontal instead of vertical. Mac's waiting for me back at the Moonlight, and I was hoping to get there quick before the sun went down, when there'd still be a little light out and I could remember what a beautiful great petal day it is. Chip throws a dollar at Suzette and tells her to take the bus, but it doesn't really seem like she wants to do that at all. Suzette looks at us, gives us a little wave, just a brush of her hand, and Ra tells Chip he has some more errands to run. Chip looks at his mother and almost spits, then gives me a kiss on the head, holds my hand, and leads us both back to his room. Thank God you're here, he says. Jesus shit, my mother. Ra weighs out some big, sticky lumps, and I'm so happy. The day's back to beautiful, and I might just make it back to the Moonlight before the sunlight's gone, be a good girlfriend to Mac, and maybe by the time I come back, Suzette will have finally gotten her peace and gone to the bus stop. After Ra gives Chips his lumps, enough to keep us well all night and all day tomorrow, he gives me a special lanyap piece, smiles, and tells me he's glad I'm around here more often than not. I'm a pretty little thing in this place, and I am. Suzette's making moaning sounds from the couch, and Chip won't stop talking about how much she's agitating him. I tell him there's a cure for everything right here in front of us, and we get down right here, sitting right on his leopard print comforter. I sink in real good, like I'm a dot on a big cat, a spot in the wild, I'm inside it. A petal is light and a dot is dark, but I'm both, float, sink. Mac definitely loves me. He really, really loves me. So does Chip. There's a dying cow on our couch. My mother says you shoot a dying animal, but my father says we don't have a gun. Why is there a cow on our couch? We're in the city. Chip's standing up facing me, knees bent, one arm hanging on the TV tray by the bed, the other arm straight in front of him, his eyes closed, just a little wetness at the corner of his mouth. There's a slow, low bounce in his knees, like he's trying to take off. I've got to let him know about the death of livestock. Chip, what, I'm awake. I ask him what's happening in the living room. I tell him Mac needs a little piece. I'm supposed to go back and give it to him. Chip dips low before he straightens up, looks like he's going to drop all the way down to the carpet. I've never even seen a house in this city with carpet, but it's probably better for us. Soft. I follow Chip into the living room, and Suzette's eyes are closed, but I don't know if she's sleeping. She's the one making the sounds. She's the cow. She's making a noise like she's running out of breath, and Chip shakes her really hard. And then he opens his palm and slams it on her eye. Slams it over and over again and slams it some more. I don't know what to say. There's not a dying cow on our couch. It's Chip's mom, and he's punching her now. Closed fist, throwing it on her head, and I might be a little scared because he's yelling things like she's a bitch and a whore, and when she wakes up, she's going to remember this, and he's going to make sure she remembers this. Remember when she taught him how to do this to her? Look how fucking well she taught him to bring her motherfucking back. And she's back. The way she comes back is like an old lady from a nap. She opens her eyes real slow, not from a nod, but from a deep dream where you expect the waking world to be just like the one you've left, like the one where everything's red and lush and thick. He's still yelling at her and throws another dollar at her, pulls her by her orange t-shirt and tells her she's gonna miss her bus, get the fuck. She leaves. It doesn't look like she sees me, but her face is puffed up like a jellyfish. Her lip looks like the inside of a grape. I think I could cry, but instead I remember Mac and realize I don't know how much time has passed. I need to get back to the moonlight. There's no more sun to get there quick with. Chip's breathing heavy, but not like a cow, not like his mother, just like he's a man, very tired, very agitated, a little too old for this room. I tell him again, Mac needs a piece. And he grumbles and goes into the room, breaks off a piece of down, and shoves it in my palm. Back on the street, I can float again. I can breathe again. It was a little suffocating in that house with Chip and Suzette and all those cow noises. I like to breathe, except now breathing reminds me of Suzette. And I don't want to have anything in common with Suzette. Back on the street, there are trees. Petals, blossoms. I think we need a tree in that apartment. I think that could fix some things. You know, sometimes the petal side of me gets to wishing it was a little softer, a little lighter around here. But it's dark. I need to get back to the moonlight. There's that glass. It's covering my eyes like a shell. A layer against all those things I don't really want to see. Suzette is lumpy and folded, and even though I've gotten out of there, she seems stuck inside my eye. And so I think maybe if I can let that glass break, maybe if I can cry, she'll leak out, maybe she'll disappear. I duck back behind that big live oak by Zara's and squat down, cry. The air is so damp here, it's just like my cheeks. I make my skin match the air and think of how that means I can be a floating part of this city. I feel immaculate when that thin little border between me and the air, me and everything else, breaks and I become more like something else, more like something other than me. Thanks.